You may be seated. Welcome. Is my mic on? One, two, there we go. Welcome to Church of the Cross, and on behalf of the family, thank you for being here today. Since there are so many people, I would ask that if you have an open seat next to you, if you would raise your hand so that we can have as many people able to be seated. There's one here, a couple back there. Ushers, if you could help facilitate that.
Just keep your hand up until somebody comes, because we've got quite a number of people standing in the back.
So we have some here. There's actually like seven or eight right here.
Still have seats, you people who are being shy, standing up in the back. There's still seats in the sanctuary if you want to come.
Probably have about 10 seats right up here.
There's a lot of Canadian politeness going on. There's
a couple of seats in the back over here. A couple here, too. Right. Still a couple of seats here. Someone like to come there? Ushers? Got some right here?
We still have seats. About five on this side. There's one here in front, and there's one way over on the side, two in the back.
Okay.
All the way over on the.
Oh, way over there.
For making this work, everyone. All the way over here. You can come all the way around the front and come around this side. It's probably easier to get there. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We are gathered here today to celebrate the life of Roger Antoine Bork. Roger was born at the Holy Cross Hospital on Monday, April 11th, 1955, and passed away just this last Thursday, November 26th. He survived by his wife, Betty, who was married to him for 33 years, as well as their three precious children, Jacqueline, her significant other, Alex, Jeffrey, and Diana, and her significant other, Ian. He is also survived by his four siblings, Robert, Denise, Paul, and Phil. Also by a large extended family here in Calgary. And on Betty's side, it's Franz, and Ted, and Anna Marie, and John, and Jim, and Barbara, and many wives and husbands. Also, he is predeceased by his brother-in-law and the husband of Mark, Mark Hanen, and by his mother and father-in-law, Johanna and John. In addition, there are numerous nieces, nephews, and their families. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, gathers us in worship. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of all mercy, and the God of all consolation, who comforts us in all our sorrows, so that we can comfort others in their sorrows with the consolation we ourselves have received from God.
All who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In his baptism, Roger was clothed with Christ, and in the day of Christ's coming, Roger shall be clothed with glory. Eternal God, maker of heaven and earth, who formed us from the dust of the earth, who by your breath gave us life, we glorify you.
We glorify you.
Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who suffered death for all humanity, who rose from the grave to open the way to eternal life, we praise you.
We praise you.
Holy Spirit, author and giver of life, the comforter of all who sorrow, our sure confidence and everlasting hope, we worship you.
We worship you.
To you, O blessed Trinity, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us who mourn. Give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until by your call we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Is that on? Is it on? Can everyone hear me? Morning. Thank you all for coming today to share not only in our grief, but also our joy that we were so blessed to have Roger in our lives. Roger and I have been fortunate to share over 33 years together, if you include dating. He was my best friend and my loving husband. He was my sounding board and my confidant. I'm not sure if any of you are aware of this, but Roger and I were opposites, and you know what they say, that opposites do attract. Is it working?
We've got to make sure folks hear this.
Can you hear me in the back? Hi, guys. I'll start again for the people who didn't hear. Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for coming today, not only to share in our grief, but also to share a few laughs and celebrate the life of a wonderful, gentle man and gentleman. Roger and I have been fortunate to share over 33 years together. He was my best friend and my loving husband. He was my sounding board and my confidant. I am not sure if any of you are aware of this, but Roger and I were opposites, and you know what they say, that opposites attract. When I was upset and frustrated, he was the rational one. When I was impulsive, he was methodical. Roger had patience when I was restless. He was quiet when I was boisterous. He moved slowly when I moved fast. He only had one good hip. I have two. So, when he would occasionally buckle under the pain of his hip, he would lean on me. We were a team, and we kept each other in balance, both emotionally and physically. Always the punny guy, Roger, thoroughly enjoyed his own humor, sometimes more than the rest of us. Although his puns would be corny, they always sent him into a burst of laughter. Even if some of his jokes or puns were not that funny, it didn't matter. It was the sound of him laughing that we enjoyed, and we would inevitably join in and laugh along with him. Roger knew that I liked to tell a story, or two or three. But there were a number of times that I could not remember who told me the story that I was relaying. So I would start a lot of stories by, somebody told me this. And finally, just recently, I was telling a story to one of our kids, and of course I started out with, somebody told me this. Roger recognized the story, turned and looked at us and said, "Hi, I'm somebody." Which is okay, because I think it's better than nobody. And apparently the majority of the stories I was retelling were actually from him. And for the longest time, he would just sit and listen to me retell it until that day he finally had to say something. We had a great laugh, as you can imagine, and Roger just thought it was hilarious. All of you know that Roger was not just somebody in our lives. He was a very special man with the biggest heart. And it's just so ironic that it was his heart that stopped that day and took him from us. He was my life partner and my dear husband. He was a wonderful father to our children. Today, I hope you can all join us as we give thanks to God for all the blessings he has brought to our lives, and Roger is one of the biggest. God bless you, Rog. I love you, big guy, and I'll see you later.
Okay, bear with me, please. I'm Diana, the youngest of Roger's children. My dad shared a special bond with everyone in his life. His caring soul made people feel comfortable around him, Everyone knew he would never be judgmental, no matter what your story was. Whether it's his brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, people he met and continuously ran into at the gym, his Notre Dame family or friends, his love was spread among so many people. My special bond with my dad revolved around sports. We would always sit downstairs together watching sports highlights, and he knew professional athlete name after name of every sport, including college teams. He taught me something new about every sport we would watch, whether that was learning new rules or me asking him if that was a dirty hit and required a 5-minute penalty while we watched the Calgary Flames, Montreal Canadiens, Chicago Blackhawks, LA Kings, etc. You name the hockey team, and he was watching it. He was the most honest man I knew. So if he knew he didn't know a statistic 100%, he would tell me so I could Google it, and we would learn that statistic together. He didn't like sports. He loved sports. He was the best coach, teammate, and cheerleader anyone could ask for. If he knew you played a sport, his eyes would light up, and he would ask you 20 questions to learn more about you.
Closer mic. Sorry.
He was my favorite coach, and recently I was able to become his teammate and cheerleader. We started going to the gym together and eating healthier. He was my teammate at the gym. Dad was proud of his accomplishments at Notre Dame, and I was proud of him. I was fortunate enough to visit Notre Dame 3 times with my dad. I can't see it.
It's okay.
However, this last time was the most special visit for me. I became his biggest cheerleader as we wandered the halls of the new hockey arena, and his name was engraved on multiple plaques. He was in his element, and I will always cherish those moments. I will always strive to be as good of a person as he was. Bye, Dad. I love you.
For those that don't know me, my name is Jeff. I'm the middle child. And you know, people still come up to me to this day and say, "You remind me of your dad." And I never know if that was from a looks point of view. I never knew if that was a compliment, but I took it as one. Dad was my help in starting my travel affair. Him and I, in 2006, went for the first time to Europe together and encouraged me to continue traveling and started that part of my life. And for that, I'm ever grateful. A friend of mine on the phone this week reminded me that I used to be bugged in high school for starting every story about Dad with Dad and not my dad. And I said, "Don't worry, I can share." But I forgot that I did that, and so it was a friendly reminder that I'm happy to share with everyone here. Despite what it may look like, Raj was about quality and not quantity. And I do hope that everyone gets a chance to share their stories with Raj afterwards at the Delta South, where I absolutely love being told stories about how precocious he was when he was younger. And for that, I'm envious for some of you for having been with Raj through different stages of his life. I got the joy of knowing him in his, I'd say, most matured stage, but we all know that that's a lie. But with the most wisdom behind his eyes, and I love him and miss him. I love you, Dad.
Hello. My name is Paul Hanen, and I'm the eldest male of Roger's 23 nieces and nephews between the Bork and the Hanen families. I'm honored to stand before you all to be able to say a few words that represent the kind of uncle and friend Roger was. My first recollection of him was when he dated my aunt. With him dating a Hanen and being one myself, I don't think I heard him speak a word till he was married for a few years. It actually wasn't until I was around 17 years old that I remembered He was still part of our family. He was so quiet. Or maybe he just couldn't get a word in edgewise. It was also then that I noticed that at family gatherings, all the Hanans would be shouting over top of one another and trying to talk with as many other Hanans as we possibly could at one time, that I realized that Roger was never in the crowd. He was always sitting in the least crowded room, having a conversation with one of us at one time. When I first partook in one of his conversations, I actually remembered feeling engaged. When I spoke, I felt like he actually heard me. He cared about what I said and entertained any opinion I had, no matter how funny or ridiculous it might have been. In the last 15 years, I've become very close with Roger, and I know I'm not the only one. Many people may not realize the depth of some of his relationships, but that's just the way he was. He didn't need to broadcast how close he was to you. He just was. He had insight and perspective beyond his years. When he spoke, I heard truth and wisdom. You felt his compassion and love for the people he cared about. He also spoke of how proud he was of every one of his kids.
Everyone.
All the time. He didn't have to speak it, though. He glowed in his kids' presence. A proud father indeed, and rightfully so. Yet if he was proud of you, you knew it. He told you, and it meant something to you. I've never left a conversation from Roger without a smile. I could confide in him as if I was speaking only to myself. He had this way of making you feel like no matter what, things are going to be okay. As I wrote this and recalled more and more great memories, I found myself just grinning from ear to ear, but we only have like an hour here, I think, hour and a half, so I couldn't write it all down. I love that guy so much. I'm going to miss his hugs, the sound of his voice, which many times over the last 15 years was my sound of reason. Truthfully, I'm outright mad he's gone. It doesn't feel okay to lose someone so many of us counted on and connected with so much. Though I'm not quite ready to find the silver lining in his loss, I do know he would want me. He would want all of us to take away a few things. Love your neighbor. Our time is short. Really short. Love your family and friends. They're all you've got. And if they're not family, befriend them as if they were. Be there for each other. Take good care of those who let you in. And be fierce and loyal with your love. Roger was my family, but he was also my friend. I am so grateful I got to call them both. We love and miss you, Uncle Roger.
Hello, friends. My name is Denise Allen, and I am Roger's sister, surrounded by the brothers. Thank you all for coming to remember Roger today. Roger, 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 baby Roger. Our close neighbor, Dr. Spence, gave him that when Roger was born. Mom and Dad brought him home from the hospital. And I did not want him. I wanted a sister and did not want him brought in the house. But Mother, in her great wisdom, took me aside and said that I could help her feed him his bottle. Only me, not the other boys. So she took me and put me on the Chesterfield, and I gave him his first bottle. As I looked at this cute little baby, I thought maybe he wasn't so bad. Maybe I could grow to like him. And at that point, there was a special spot in my heart because I was the only one to feed him. So he was mine. In later years, I moved to Edmonton for three years, and then returned to Calgary to follow his last year of play with the Calgary Canucks. I went with Mom and Dad to some of the small towns and cities around the province. I knew that something special would happen in his hockey career, and it did. Through the latter years, when I had a crisis in my life, my baby brother and his family were always there for me. Roger was my brother and my confidant. Safe journey, Roger, and sharpen those skates, as Mom and Dad can now take you again to those hockey games. Love you always, and that spot in my heart will always be there.
Betty said we had 2 minutes, and Denise only used 1.5. And so I'm going to surprise Betty here and do something she's probably never seen. Again, I knew Roger from when he was very young. We were closest in age. We played together, fought together, laughed together, cried together. I will always remember Roger because every time I put my hand on my head, there's a little divot there where he took a rake one day when we were out in the yard and planted it in the top of my head. And I never was sure exactly why he did it, except I think I realize now he was probably trying to get me to shut up. And he didn't succeed, so he knew how to fix it, and he married Betty. He was absolutely not only an unbelievably special person in their lives, but he was in ours. Roger was the glue in our family. He was the youngest, but he was the glue. He held us all together. He was the confidant. He was, when we were troubled, he would listen. He was the glue, and I'm not sure what we're going to do to replace him.
My name's Jacqueline. I'm the oldest child of Roger. While everyone has said beautiful words about what and who my dear father was, I would like to use the closeness that I have with my father and the intuition of his spirit to say a few words about what and who my father is right now. My dad is in love with my mom, who even in her grief has still been the impeccable host, socialite, and feisty spirit that he fell in love with 35 years ago. My dad is so proud of my mom. He is proud of her continued strength and composure through these days and will watch over her as closely and as fiercely as he did when he was with us down here. My dad is so very proud of my sister, who, as many of you know, was alone in another country when she got the news that Dad had passed. Her determination and poise throughout her travels home on Thursday were beyond her years and more than someone should have to deal with. Dad is in awe of the smart, wonderful, spirited person that Diana has become, and he will forever be her coach and mentor. My dad is extremely proud of my brother. He is proud that Jeff was there with my mom on Thursday morning, and that he stepped up to not only be the man of the house, but who was a rock and a first responder in a really tough situation. Dad is so very proud of my brother for being the emotional, sensitive, strong, and intelligent man that he raised him to be. My dad is honored to share his house and his family with Alex and Ian, who have both taken a page from Roger's book this week to each be an unwavering staff for us to lean on. My dad is proud of me, I know. He is proud for my attempt at being the oldest sibling and keeping a close eye on the emotions and situations of those around me while we field this situation. My dad is proud that I was able to be there for Mom and Jeff that morning and for calling on you all for support and strength that day. My dad will continue to be my crutch and my strength in spirit, just as he was in body, and he will still be forced to listen to my rants on a regular basis. My dad is absolutely tickled to see all of your faces and have touched all of your hearts and souls throughout his time with us. My dad is the best person I will ever know and is with us now. My dad is going to continue to support all of you as he always did in whatever way you all would like or need him to.
He just can't file your taxes. My dad is Roger Bork, and there is no one like him.
Each by name.
A reading from Isaiah 61, 1-13. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory.
Reading from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at the right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
Reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is an excellence, and if there is anything worth of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. And a little background to today's hearing from the gospel. Jesus has traveled to Jerusalem with his disciples, and they are in the temple. And there are religious leaders from various factions coming, and they're questioning Jesus about difficult things. They're questioning him about paying taxes, which is kind of appropriate. They're questioning him about marriage, which is also appropriate, and they're questioning him about resurrection from the dead. I didn't realize how appropriate that was when I chose the reading, but there you have it. The gospel reading from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Now, one of the scribes came into the temple, and when he heard them arguing with Jesus, he saw that Jesus was answering them well. So he asked Jesus, "Which commandment is the first?" Jesus answered him, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And there is a second: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these two." When the scribe heard this, he said to Jesus, "Teacher, you have answered truly when you said that the Lord our God is one and none are above God, and that to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your understanding and all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, there is nothing greater than these. They are more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus heard this, he said to the scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared ask him anything else. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
You may be seated. In the end, we come to a church, and I get the last word. Is my mic on? I did that, my mic was not. Could you hear this gospel back there? Yeah, they certainly can hear me. Just the mute? It's on? It's on. Okay, great. In the end, we come to a church, and I get the last word. Because after all, Roger was religious, and we are a religious people. And so I'm going to teach a few lessons. The first is about the word religion itself. The word religion comes to us from the Latin. It comes to us from the Latin word ligio, which means to connect. So if you think about your knees and your elbows and your ligaments, then you're on the right track. Ligaments connect bone to bone, muscle to muscle. I don't know, the people who know anatomy know that better than I do. Religion means to reconnect. Religio, reconnect. And certainly, when we're keeping the commandment, the first and great commandment, and the second that is like it, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, we are religious. And in that regard, I don't know anyone who is more religiously faithful than Roger. In his religiosity, he connected all of you. And I invite you to look around. If you guys haven't had a look backwards, you should look out there. I mean, really take a minute to look around and see the work that faithful religiosity accomplishes. Now, we who are religious are not better than people who aren't. We're not better than anyone. We're simply grasping at a reality that other people dismiss. See, people who are not religious think that this world is all that there is. They think that there's nothing beyond what we see, and that when we die, that's it. But we who are religious know the truth of the last thing that Jesus said to that scribe. The scribe who heard the command to love, when he grasped that in his soul, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And this is the reality that religious people are grasping at. It's the reality that we try to live into and the reality that we envision. The kingdom of God is near. It isn't that Roger has died and gone somewhere far away, one way or the other. The kingdom of God is here. It's in our midst. The realm between the living and the dead is separated by a very thin veil. The problem for us is that veil is like a one-way mirror. They can see us, but we can't see them. So that morning, that fateful morning, people actually saw Roger coming. I'm going to say that again. People actually saw Roger coming. The kingdom of heaven here in our midst, the kingdom of God, is not physically separated. People who had gone on before Roger were right there. Dr. Cam Harder, who teaches at the Lutheran Seminary in Saskatoon, was here in October, and we had the pleasure of hearing him speak. And he reminded us all that we're all kind of in the same boat as Roger. In other words, none of us gets out of this human business alive. We're all in the same boat. And he reminded us to think of the expansiveness of the kingdom of God. It's much bigger, much grander, much more expansive than you've ever imagined. If you can think of something in our universe, it is in God's kingdom. If you can think of something outside of our universe, it is in God's kingdom. If you can think of a realm that you cannot see and that you only hope to imagine, that too is in God's kingdom. In fact, the portal that separates us from the dead is in God's kingdom. It's actually in the heart of God's kingdom. Because that portal that opens up and seems to swallow us is the location of our greatest joy and our deepest despair at the same time. Where else would you expect to find God except celebrating at the height of joy and walking beside us and carrying us when we are broken? It's all God's, folks. And so Cam Harder said this. He said, when our lives fall apart, and believe me, they will, the pieces of our lives fall into the hands of a loving God. And so last Thursday, that veil lifted, the mirror separated, the door opened between the portal between this world and the next, however you want to think of it. That portal opened, and Roger fell face first through it. And before he could hit the ground, he was caught in the arms of a loving God. Now, we cannot see what happened. We can't see what happened then, and we can't see what's happening there now. At least, not if we're looking with our physical eyes. We can see it if we're looking with our religiously faithful eyes. So I invite you to close your physical eyes and look with me. Close your eyes. Look! Can you see Roger's parents waiting for him? Can you see Mark? Can you see Roger's grandparents? Can you see a feast? A table spread with everything that Roger loved to eat and drink. Can you see the scotch? Can you hear the angels singing? Can you see that big, stupid banner with a joke on it that says, "Welcome home, Roger Burke"? Look closely. Can you see them weeping with us? They know our loss and they know our pain. Roger will always be with us. This might be a newsflash. Everyone you love will always be with you. Love is forever. That's why it's the first commandment and the second that's like it. Love is what presences the kingdom of God. So if you have loved someone and lost them, would you raise your hand? If you don't love them anymore, would you put your hand down? This, folks, is the point of the resurrection. Jesus was love incarnate, and he went to the cross, and he went to his death, and he went to the grave, and he went to the realm of the dead, still in the kingdom of God, and he came back to prove to us that love cannot die. Not only that, it can't be killed. So, the lesson today is actually an encouragement for all of you to become religious. It's actually my job, that's why I'm wearing this. We have a lot of work to do to recover our religion. It's been taken and tainted and talked about wrongly and acted wrongly, but religion is nothing more than this. Get connected. Get connected to God, get connected to one another, get connected to neighbor, to friends, to daughter. All of those relationships that you have that are broken, get to work. Get reconnected. You will develop religiously faithful eyes that can see God's kingdom everywhere you go. And why would you want to live any other way? Roger can see you. Roger can see you. And if you use your religious faithfulness, you can see him. You can feel him. Your love is still here. I love this, by the way, because it's really a symbol of this portal between two worlds that I'm talking about. Our greatest joy and our deepest despair heaped together. Your brokenness is not far from the kingdom of God, and neither is your joy. When that portal opens, we're all devastated. Our lives are broken to bits. And so remember this. The pieces of your lives that are broken are falling into the loving hands of God. Those same loving hands that caught and held Roger still hold him today. God's peace and grace and life and God's religion be with you.
Thank you. Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in holy baptism, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion of saints in the body of Christ. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to share the new life in Christ. God of mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give courage and faith to all who mourn, and a sure and certain hope in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may have strength for the days to come. God of mercy, grant to us, who are still in our pilgrimage, and who walk as yet by faith, that where this world groans in grief and pain, your Holy Spirit may lead us to bear witness to your light and life. God of mercy, help us in the midst of things we cannot understand to believe and trust in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection to life everlasting. God of mercy, God of all grace, we give you thanks because by his death our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Light. If you need me, why don't you call me? James Brown said, when you're tired of what you got, try me. Gene Chandler said,
let us commend Roger to the mercy of God, our Maker and our Redeemer. Please stand. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Roger. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeemed. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. Amen.
Thank you.
part from the funeral home. The funeral home actually went during the service and made more copies. So you should see one of the ushers for those. They should have a replenished stock of those. The second is not unrelated. Because our church is very much smaller than Roger's life and Roger's heart, and we've packed you in here like sardines, there's no way that you can all greet the family in this space. So we're asking that if you are intending to go to the lunch at the Delta South, that you greet the family there. And that if you're not going to that luncheon, the family will remain here to greet you. We had intended to take them out and put them in a space outside of the church, but guess what? There's no space out there. So if you would just stay where you are and make yourselves at home, as home as you can, this is where they'll be, right in the front of the church. So once again, if you're going to lunch, please go to the lunch and they will greet you there. And if you're not going to lunch, you're welcome to greet the family here. Let us go forth in peace.
Thanks be to God.